Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
113.
113. Wow, my mic's way pointed the wrong direction.
If you're triskaidekaphobic, plus 100, I guess. Be scared of this one.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the day after, of course, the Super Blood Moon, which...
Yes.
Yes, which unfortunately did not get into a knife fight with the Super Crypt Moon.
No.
Which made me sad.
But it was red.
It was red.
As opposed to being a blue moon.
Well, no, I think it actually was also a blue moon, wasn't it? Wasn't it the second one? Oh, it couldn't have been, because it would have
It would be a very confused moon if it was. I'm blue and blood.
I don't remember. I don't think we had... What was yesterday? The
27th.
Then no, it couldn't have been a blue moon. Would have had to have been the 28th.
Yeah, that's today.
So that would have been crazy, though, if it was a...
Yeah.
If it was a super blood blue moon, which I'm sure can happen. I don't know, Neil deGrasse Tyson could tell us.
It would be a super blue blood moon.
Super blue blood moon?
Yeah.
Pinkies out.
Part of the skull and crossbones.
Oh, secrets. So.
So here, many things we could do with that.
I know.
I've just had thoughts.
Here we are again. We actually have a little treat for you guys today that'll happen a little bit later. We're going to mess up the format a little bit and actually do something new.
Introduce a new segment.
We're going to introduce a new segment that I think is going to be a lot of fun. So as far as my week went, nothing really big happened. I went down and visited my kids, which is always fun, but that's it. Nothing else really.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I saw Bo's A Few Good Men.
Uh-huh. This is not the all-nude review.
No.
No, okay.
No.
This is about the military.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't handle the Juth.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So that was a thing that I did.
Okay.
He and I had conversations afterwards about where our sensibilities differ.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, they've been... It's the third week of the run.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know, a lot of the people I saw are probably getting winded of having done the show. It is, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way. I just mean this in a way to categorize saying it is community theater.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, you know, folks there are a little... more lax.
Do you have to audition for kids? Or is it like Little League where everybody gets a chance to play?
No.
No, okay.
No. Bo did cast from his first and only audition set and I think might have turned away four.
Oh, okay.
But he used everybody that came out. I've done some community theater where the director is not happy with what he gets,
mm-hmm.
and then has this painstakingly long process of, you know, more auditions and more auditions,
right.
And I find that to be bullshit. So, you know, Bo took from the pool that he had,
right.
and he put together a pretty good show. There were some standout performances, and I've told Bo this, but for a male-dominated cast... the top three actors were women. There is... go see it if you're in the area. Jennifer Reifenberry, one of our Patreon subscribers, plays the judge, which is atypical for the show,
right.
but not outside the realm of...
right, right, right.
Believability.
Absolutely.
The gal plays Joe, obviously, because mm-hmm. she's in the thing. The Demi Moore character, if you're familiar with the film. And then there's Dawson and...
like the Vanderbeek?
Downey.
Oh.
No, they're the two privates who are... or the two Marines who are on trial.
Right, got you.
One of them was played very convincingly by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
As a man.
Oh, really? Neat.
So they didn't do a gender Swap in it.
There's still a male character.
She played a male character.
That's awesome.
Hair gone.
Right.
You know, and she was amazing. We had a lovely conversation afterwards. She worked with Bo before. With Brophy.
Be sure to apologize to her if you see her again.
I do.
Okay.
As well as Brophy at one of the pocket theater shows. So yeah, that was and Cassie Fastebend is the young actress who played Jo.
Okay.
So those are my call outs.
Those are good call outs.
Yeah. Bo and I really diverged on the character of Markinson, which I played 10 years ago.
Right, right. So you have. You're bringing some baggage into this, but you also probably, it was at a higher level, you probably studied the character a bit more.
It was at Lakewood Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
I did study the character more, I feel. I did drop 20 pounds to fit into my marine blues that they didn't have in the pivotal scene. Bo and I argued over whether or not that was paramount, and I was like, yes. Markinson's committing suicide in a ritualistic manner. He needs to have the uniform.
Yeah, that is true.
But
anyway, sorry to spoil that for you, but it's been out forever.
Yeah, if you don't know the story, I'm really sorry.
If you don't know it by now. Anyway,
I want to say that. Oh, and I went and saw, interestingly enough, Tacoma Little Theater.
Right.
Has what they're calling an off the shelf series, which are staged readings, sort of ramped up a little bit.
Okay.
They're still staged readings, maybe a little bit of blocking, maybe a little bit of costume change if it's, you know, warranted. But they did a two-man musical that was amazing.
Neat.
It was really cool, and it's about a guy giving a eulogy.
Wow.
So it's memories and all of this stuff. Two guys doing the musical off the crib sheets, live piano player. It was really good.
That's cool. And yeah,
they're going
to
produce
great.
It in Tacoma in 2016 at Duke's Bay, which would be great to give it an actual, you know, thing. But it's a really fun series, and so I'm going to submit some things to maybe direct there.
Ooh, very
both
cool.
Both main stage and also as the off the shelf, because I don't think that they would do Hurley Burley, but I think that they would do it as an off the shelf reading. So
very cool. Very cool.
In which case, I may be voice casting you in that. So
I'll take it.
Be aware.
All right.
Well, not voice casting. I mean, you be there.
Reading
one of the characters.
I know what you mean. highlight of my weekend after seeing the kids. Well, okay. I've got a few highlights.
Sure.
First, my friend Brandon. Well, I mean, definitely seeing the kids was always, you know, that's
right,
always
that's
great.
Number one.
My friend Brandon brought me a gift. It's a micro drone. So these are $9. You get them from China. They ship, like, it takes them like 3 weeks to get here because of customs. But it's a little $9 micro drone with a little remote control. And, I mean, they're about as big around as a silver dollar, roughly.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, so it's just one little propeller?
No, it's that's the diameter of the... sort of the struts and everything. Then little propellers are, there's four little tiny propellers. And he gave it to me specifically to perturb the cat, which I have done. So that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, it's great. So that was next. And then after that, well, I don't know, man. This might be pretty...
Can it hold a camera?
No.
Damn.
No. Not at all. after that, or before that, Aaron's dad had his 50th birthday a little while ago, so we were there for a party, and old people plus apple pie equals a lot of thrown out backs, because they decided they were going to play grab ass in the backyard. It was pretty funny. So you had 50-year-olds tackling each other all over in the backyard after drinking a bunch of apple pie.
Oh, drinking. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I was thinking...
For those of you who don't know...
Wow.
Our teetotalers in the audience, or potentially people who just aren't aware of what apple pie is. Apple pie is half Everclear.
That apple pie.
And half mulled cider. So You do a spiced mulled cider. That's the pie part of it. You mm-hmm. boil it with Everclear, not long enough to really lose much of the potency. So it's somewhere between probably 80 and 100 proof by the time it's done. But it tastes like a strong apple cider, not the like beerish cider, but like a strong like Christmas timey cider.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that was bunch of people just
that would have been awesome.
Crazy. You would have loved it, I think. It was interesting because we were
the Grabass or the apple pie.
Well, the apple pie, you both. Okay, you probably would have loved both. Aaron and I are like, nope, we're just going to stay in the house. But of course, if you stay in the house, everyone assumes you're going to watch their fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't.
Right.
Like, we made sure that they knew, hey, your kid jumps off the stairs, that's a you problem, not a me problem. And one of the kids was psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, like, all of the boys ended up with their shirts off, beating each other up. And we're just like, hey, fuck it, it's Thunderdome.
The kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just like, just go have fun. I don't care.
I thought this was out back.
No, that too. That also. You know, I was like, my stuff is locked in a room. I don't care about you. You're not in my monkey sphere. Go ahead and push each other down the stairs. I don't fucking care. You know what? I don't care.
Darwinism.
You want to spend the rest of your life not eating soup so good? That's up to you. Okay? So that was a lot of fun. Not really. The drive sucks.
Yes.
Always. The drive just always sucks, but it's worth it to see the kids.
Mm-hmm.
During the drive, of course, we were being chased by the Blood Moon.
Ooh, right.
Which was fun. Drove through Yakima, where Tony Becerra is right now,
mm-hmm.
doing some work. Tried to get him to have some time. I'm like, okay, we're not going through till 8. He'll be off. No, they shot until after midnight.
Nice.
So, but there was a little carnival. I almost stopped anyway. And then I was like, fuck it, it's Yakima. I don't want to stop there.
No.
So we just drove straight through.
Unless you go into the wine country, there's no reason. Oh, no, that's Walla Walla. Never mind.
No, there's wine in Yakima.
I know.
But it's not good
wine. But it's not good wine.
I think Goose
Walla
Shit.
Walla Walla is the one I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Goose Shit Orchards, I think is that's a Yakima place. Yeah, Walla Walla is the onion wine capital. No.
No, they've...
They do. It's any of those dry places.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, we got back late last night, and now the highlight... After all of those things. That's highlight of my weekend.
Sleep?
I wish.
Oh.
Masters of the Universe. The 1987 film with Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
And Billy Barty as the Keymaster guy.
Yes.
Like, I don't even... oh, boy. I just love that Eternia doesn't have music. The whole plot of this is Eternia doesn't have music, so nobody knows how to play music.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Paris has to come from Voyager... who plays the love interest boy guy who, like,
mm-hmm.
Courtney Cox is essentially just, like, furniture who gets kidnapped, or who gets knocked out. But Frank Langella, is that right?
Sure.
You know who he is.
Uh-huh.
He's Skeletor, so he's mm-hmm. behind prosthetics the whole time, which is hilarious. It's not hilarious. Well, the gold costume he gets at one point. If you haven't seen Masters of the Universe,
do
yourself
times.
A favor. It's on Netflix right now, streaming.
Oh, okay.
Give it a watch.
Yeah.
It's not worth it, but it's also totally worth it.
It's just, it's dated.
Oh, it's
Tennessee and it, movie.
Do you like the cartoon or the toys? You're going to be disappointed.
Right.
It's disappointing in 5 different ways. It is just terrible, but also... enjoyably terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if I had to, if I was locked, you know, locked in chains and it's like, okay, we're going to make you watch, I would pick Beastmaster in a heartbeat over Masters of the Universe any day of the week. Mark Singer notwithstanding, it's just a better movie.
Mm-hmm.
Masters of the Universe, wow, it's bad and amazing. It's bad and amazing and terrible and awesome. So that was the highlight of my weekend, was getting home and watching a little of that.
I can't believe that you did not take the time for the audio joke of that.
Of Masters of the Universe?
Of, by the time I got home, late at night, after that whole weekend, the number one thing was, Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, well,
I was waiting for the cliffhanger of what you Masters of the You must still be tired because you would not normally up that opportunity.
I just got enough roadhead to forget about. No,
that's not true. Okay.
Don't ever do that, kids. That's terrible. Especially
especially if you're driving.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's bad. I think it'd be worse if she was driving and I was giving because
that
of
would
the
be,
angle.
Yeah.
You know,
if it's a standard transmission, near impossible.
Well,
Unless it's on the tree, and then you're okay.
If you can get the stick shift under your armpit, maybe.
True.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, three on the tree.
Three on the tree.
Is glee for thee. Four on the floor.
Leave you wanting more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll show you the door, because you're going to wreck and die, is what it comes down to. If door rhymed with death, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what that Pearl Jam song Last Kiss is about. Which I know isn't really a Pearl Jam song, but you know what I mean.
Wow.
Is it too too soon?
No, it's one of my favorite songs, and then one of my favorite covers of a song.
Yeah.
And to tarnish it in that way. I don't know.
Well, today it would be about someone texting or Tindering on the road. God.
Yes.
Swipe right, side swipe.
Swipe right to the car. Boom. Yep. Okay.
T-Bone. Should we do this thing?
Are
we ready?
We should do the thing. We should also maybe make mention of, since it's the new segment, of sort of the new thoughts on the format.
Ah, yes.
To do a little cold weather
shrinkage. We're gonna lengthen this podcast by talking about how we're probably going to shrink podcasts moving forward.
Right.
We're going to try and keep a little bit more concise. Less rambling, have a couple of predetermined topics to talk about because we feel like we're not doing you guys justice. We're not getting in there with the information you want and getting out. We're rambling, and we feel like we're probably losing a little bit of listenership for it. So we want to bring you guys something a little more consumable, if that makes any sense.
So. And it's a very big commitment for all of you lovely people who still listen to an hour plus long podcast.
Except Mike Ott, who just puts his whole brain in neutral. No, I'm just kidding. I like messing with Mike Ott.
So for those of you who are listening to it at work, and like the hour format, hey, maybe we should put a Facebook poll up.
Maybe.
And find out if they want a 30-minute or an hour.
Let's,
about shrinkage and elongating.
We definitely are going to do this based on a target.
Right.
We're not going to be 30 minutes cut off.
Yeah, but, no. But I mean, targeted as a shorter podcast, or do you like the longer format? Because we've proven we can ramble on about semi...
Is it not about the length, but it's about the width of the podcast?
The girth?
The girth of the podcast, the girthiness
I think
two bards?
Yeah.
Because if we get into stuff really, really well, like it's well-researched and we're going back and forth and there's not a bunch of dead air and there's not a bunch of, Scott's gone.
Only because I have to go pee.
A lot.
A lot. I drink a lot of water.
I think it's the ketamine.
No, it could be that too.
Okay. So part of that, like we were saying, is bringing in... researched segments where we're going to every week we're each going to research something based on a topic, and you're welcome to suggest topics. Everyone out there, suggest a topic.
Yes.
This week the segment we're and I don't
however know if, I will caveat this. Check Facebook and Twitter first.
Yes.
Well, nobody but Brophy and Rival Guy on occasion does Twitter much anymore, so which is still fine. Throw them into the Twitter. But check the Facebook from the last podcast and see if someone else has already submitted an idea.
Right.
Because if we get 10, we can't research all 10 ideas.
Right, right.
And then we don't want to upset anybody. So.
Right. And it's going to be one a week. So we'll you know, it may become a situation where yours is lower on the stack. So it'll be a while. But, you know, we'll try to get through what we can. And we're obviously also going to pick what we find interesting. So... not everyone's a winner, but hey, maybe get your idea out there. So for today, to give you guys an example of sort of what we're doing, today we each researched two phrases like colloquialisms or sayings, and we're going to present back and forth the sayings, and then the other person has to take their best guess at where the saying came from. This could be the actual true definition, too. That's fine. You get extra points for that. We don't have a point counter, but if we did...
It'll be like, whose line is it anyway?
Exactly.
Where the questions are something and the points don't matter.
Good night. I was just thinking about Whose Line on the way over, because Aaron watched a shitty movie with Colin Mockery in it.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, it was too bad.
Yeah.
It really was. It's not... He wasn't bad. The rest of the movie around it was bad. So, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I don't care.
Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. So I will give you the phrase.
What are your two phrases?
Just
to make sure that
one at a time.
I know, but I want to make sure that we don't have the same ones.
If we do, okay. We do. All right. So I'll give you my phrase, and if you have it, just say, hey, I have this one, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
If you don't have it, great. So basically, I'll give you the phrase. You'll give me your answer. If it's correct, we'll talk a little bit about the phrase. If it's not correct, I'll give you the real answer, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Okay. So the first phrase that I have for you is bought the farm, as in grandpa bought the farm. He is no longer with us.
Right. I will say that that is a Depression-era term stemming from the lack of fundage and thereby the farming communities dwindling up and drying out and not having the capacity to do that, and comes from an inheritance of said horrible farm that once you get on there as a city slicker and realize how hard it is, you pass out from a heart attack from hoeing that road.
Well, so heart attacks and hoes aside, it's actually contested. I threw a contested one in.
Hmm.
So it's World War II era, regardless. But it may have been from...
Close.
Yes.
The Depression was pre-World War II, though, right? If I'm doing my math right.
But it may be an extension of a World War I saying. So the World War II alone concept is... They know for a fact it originated with pilots. With fighter pilots. So one thought is that when a fighter pilot died, because fighter pilots have better death benefits than, say, infantry... So when a fighter pilot dies, enough money would go back to his wife and children to buy the farm. So in dying, he bought the farm.
Okay.
Another possible piece of etymology, sort of similarly related, would be... hold on. I just screwed that up. there used to be... sort of this thought that you'd get whatever you wanted after you died, right? And it was big in the World War II era, like, oh, you know, Big Rock Candy Mountain came out. It was kind of a story about two hobos dying and going to their heaven, where the bulldogs all had rubber teeth. So I'm going to go home and, you know, after the war, I'm going to go home and settle down and get a farm. The other thought is he died, so now he got his farm. He bought his farm. I think that one's stupid, but it's a
postulate. I like the second, your first postulated entomological origin.
But the one with that was good. That was
thanks.
Good. The one with the most clout behind it is an extension of a World War I piece where...
I thought that's what we just talked about.
No.
No.
No. This is the last piece.
Oh.
Where the term for a burial plot was a farm. And there was a World War I saying that was, if you died, it's like, oh, he's a landowner now. Because you own your burial plot. So for the first time in your life, you're now a landowner because you have your burial plot. So in dying, you buy your plot. You buy your farm. So that's the one that actual linguists postulate is probably the most likely.
I don't like it as much.
I like the first one, too.
Yeah.
Where the stipend you get, or your family gets after you croak it, goes to pay off the mortgage. So,
because that would only work for Christians who were buried in a plot of land.
Right.
And most notably, I believe Catholic is the most stringent of Christian faith to plant yourself in the ground. I mean, there's a lot of cremation.
Military gets... They get a plot. That was the whole point.
Right.
But it's still... I don't know. The visual is still better with the first one. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with that, too. All right.
Okay.
Give me yours.
First one.
Scott's on analog.
Up the Creek.
Up the Creek.
Or...
Uh-huh.
Up the Creek Without a Paddle, or Up Shit Creek Without a Paddle.
Up Shit Creek Without a Paddle. So, my feeling on this one is, this obviously came around during trapper times. You would you know, you'd build your canoe, you'd do all that, you'd get ready, you'd head on to ford the river, you'd drive yourself up the river, and the problem is, you know, you'd lose your paddle, and you had to go all the way to the mouth of the river before it would let you go. Or it would throw you to the other side or whatever. So mm-hmm. you had to go too far. You had to go way beyond where you were comfortable going before you could get back. So you were in it. There was no way you were going to get out of this now. You couldn't turn back. So that's up the creek without a paddle. Can't turn back.
Close. Ish.
Okay.
So.
Well, singing Alouette the whole way. Alouette, gentille Alouette.
Even closer. I will go with the Urban Dictionary definitions because just of the definitions as opposed to the etymology, because I love the world nature of these.
Yes.
These are the four on Urban Dictionary. Up Shit Creek Without a Paddle is an idiom. To be in an undesirable position. Or, undesirable situation. Or a Scottish slang term... meaning to be stuck in a bad situation without any way of fixing it. The bad situation being Shit Creek and the paddle being the solution. In Australia, it means that you're in a lot of trouble with no foreseeable way out. And it took me a while to figure out, but this is... I'll explain it afterwards. When one is caught in a precarious situation where the likelihood of it ending in something positive is virtually non-existent. By... the big knucklehead, which means that's our Canadian
yes.
interpretation. So we have American, Scottish, Australian, and Canadian, many of which are the homelands of some of our listeners.
Yes. I actually like that. The Up Shit Creek Without a Paddle being a position where there's no good way out, because you can either let the current carry you further down Shit Creek,
mm-hmm.
which sucks, or you can just go ahead and dive into the shit. And that sucks too.
And here's the etymology.
Okay.
As near as one can tell,
mm-hmm.
oddly enough, also militaristic.
Wonderful.
The phrase may have come from Hassler Creek in Portsmouth Harbor, a salt creek, may be the origin of the alternative Up Shit Creek.
Hmm.
Wounded sailors during Nelson's time, and I'm sorry, I thought that there was a year on this, and it doesn't seem to show, but during Nelson's time, this is all in England,
mm-hmm.
were taken there to be admitted to the Royal Naval Hospital, Royal Naval Hospital Hassler, to die or recover.
Mm.
The ships moored up in the Solent, and the wounded soldiers were transported to Hassler Creek by tram line, hence... Up the creek without a paddle.
Mm.
They were held prisoner so that they would not desert while they were being treated, and some tried to escape by going through the sewers to the creek. Another suggested origin of the alternative, Up a Shit Creek. Without a paddle, this would be hopeless, hence the phrase, Up the Creek Without a Paddle, to mean being trapped, stuck, or in trouble. Much very obscure Navy-related jargon entered popular culture in the seafaring peoples of the British Isles and thus entered the English language as a whole.
Nice.
So that is the etymological origin of Up Shit Creek.
Nice.
Without a paddle.
All right. You ready for your second one?
I am.
All right. In a pickle.
We're nailing this, by
I know.
The way.
This is great. In a pickle. Which, of course, means to be in a sticky situation. Yeah.
Without
up shit,
shit
creek, without a right. pickle.
What's the phrase again?
In a pickle.
In a pickle.
As in, oh dear, I'm in a pickle. In a bit of a pickle would be allow.
In a bit of a pickle. I would say that that has something to do with the brine in which cucumbers or baby gherks mm-hmm. are put into to become pickles, mm-hmm. which is by itself an awful tasting liquid. And thus, the cucumber said to the carrot, I'm in a pickle. No, I don't know. I'm going with some sort of canning reference to the brine of pickling or the heavily salted basis for pickling.
Well, no. But
no, okay.
I'd give you half a point if you weren't totally wrong. So... No, you weren't that far
sand,
off.
Sand, not salt, sand.
Oh. So pickles, cucumbers and pickles, that's an American and more recent thing. Pickling mm-hmm. is just preserving vegetables through brining, basically infusing them with salt to make them less less desirable to your bacterias and whatnot. But in a pickle came from originally or possibly at a parallel evolution. There was also a term called in the stew, and it was because of the mishmash of items, because there was a lot of spices that would go into the pickling vat and a lot of different mm-hmm. vegetables. So it came to mean you were in a situation where there was a lot of confusion and a lot of change and things like that. So I'll just read this. The in trouble meaning of in a pickle was an allusion to being as disoriented and mixed up as the stewed vegetables that made up pickles. This was part way to being a literal allusion, as fanciful stories of the day related to hapless people who found themselves on the menu. That is, falling into the pickle vat. The earliest known use of pickle in English contains such a citation. The Morte Arthur, circa 1440, relates the gory imagined ingredients of King Arthur's diet. And I shall read it. And in as best I can in, what, Middle English, would that be? 1440? He soups all the season with 7 known children, chopping in a chargor of chalk white sailor with pickle and powder of precious spices. And the translation there is, he dines all season on 7 rascal children chopped in a bowl of white silver with pickle and precious spices. In a pickle.
So how exactly was my having to do with the pickling process or the brine therein?
Because
was I wrong?
You weren't wrong about the brine.
I should at least get half a point.
It was the mishmash of things. It was the confusion of the thing.
Oh, okay.
The slurry. The second one, the literal thing, was more of a secondary add-on.
Gotcha.
Of literally falling in. Now, you could have gone with, and here's where I thought you were probably going to go, was you tend to get into trouble while drunk. So while you're in a pickle...
Oh, I don't get into trouble while I'm drunk. That never happens.
Sorry.
I don't get drunk. B,
there you go.
I don't get in trouble when I'm drunk.
But...
Ever.
Because you can have a pickle on, like, mm-hmm. by drinking too much.
Yes, get pickled.
Get pickled.
Pickle your liver.
But nope, that's...
Okay.
In a stew.
And the last one is if you were paying attention to any of my recent postings,
nope.
We'll know.
No, I was.
But less is more.
Ah. So I feel like less is more probably came from an artistic side of things, where you could tell more of a story by crowding the canvas or the work less. Putting less distracting pieces into the work allowed you to see more of the subject. I'm going to go with that.
I would give you half a point.
but less is more.
But I'm still going to give you half a point.
So less is more, so I get like 3 points now.
There are a couple different 19th century proverbial phrase.
Okay.
But it is often understood that less is more is that which is less complicated is often better understood and more appreciated than what is more complicated. Simplicity is preferable to complexity, to complexity, brevity in communication is more effective than verbosity.
That's a very ironic set of vocabulary for this definition. Yes.
The meaning is the notion that simplicity and clarity lead to good design. Mm. It is often associated with the architect and furniture designer Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, one of the founders of the modern architecture and proponent of simplicity of style.
It's a Ludwig.
But its origin is a 19th century proverbial phrase first found in print in Andrea del Sarto, 1855, a poem by Robert Browning.
Hmm.
Who strive, you don't know how the others strive, to paint a little thing like that you smeared, carelessly passing with your robes afloat. Yet do much less, so much less, someone says. I know his name no matter, so much less. Well, less is more, Lucrezia, is the poem. But for me, it is the name of my new blog.
Nice.
Less is More is Me.
Less is More is Me.
Which you can follow on Twitter, Less is More is Me, or lessismoreisme.wordpress.com. Yes, I am using WordPress because, goddammit, I need to learn how to do that because everybody wants a fucking WordPress site. And it will chronicle the journey of me in my new health regime.
Yeah.
And the subtitle of Less is More is Me is Transparency, Accountability, Honesty, Health.
Hmm.
And that I was a food hoarder and a binge eater and a food hider from those near me. And I detail some of that in the first blog post. But starting tonight, I will be detailing what my exercise and diet regime is, holding myself accountable to the one or million people who are viewing that. And I've already gotten some very nice things said on the Facebook and the Twitters, and I really appreciate all of that. So that was a little tea. There was a post on Two Bards, a share of the post, and it's not something that I'm going to promote all the time.
Right.
Maybe like a monthly thing on the social media stuff, because that's not what it's about. It's right. Not to promote myself in some way. It's just I feel that if I'm accountable to those close to me and can chronicle this for my own information, it will be inspiring to myself and hopefully inspiring to others. And I've heard a couple stories from some people that I know and don't know about their struggles and trials and tribulations and such with that. So I'm hoping that it will be a wonderful journey for myself and everyone who cares to come along.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Let's all head up Shit Creek together.
With a paddle.
With a paddle.
So that we can get back down.
Having worked out today, it is Shit Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I worked out today after missing, because I was in Idaho.
Right,
I didn't really have a chance to. So two 8-hour trips in a car, bad birthday food.
Yeah.
Not working out for 3 days. This morning sucked.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It was terrible.
Yes.
But congratulations. I'm really excited to see where you go with this.
Thanks. Me too. So.
All right, should we get to some questions?
We should.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll go in chronological order. Rob McLennan writes, can you think of a parody? Oh, hold it. Before we get into the questions.
Okay.
If anyone has a wonderful idea, because we're still thinking of a name for the former segment of the two
Bards. Yeah, Bard Acknowledge is kind of already taken.
Right.
But
and it will kind of be that. But if you think of a Bard Acknowledgery. No, I don't know. But throw out your ideas for the segment.
Could be Bard v. Bard.
Ooh, could be. Yeah. Kind of like that.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it? Bard v. Bard.
Okay, never mind.
Never mind. Okay, thank you for your
suggestions. Thank you so much for your suggestions.
We picked a winner.
We have. Okay, so that was a bad segue into nothingness. Rob McLennan asks, can you think of a parody trailer that you would actually like to make into a real movie?
Gobstopper. You mean, I'm assuming he means a parody trailer that we've seen. Like the Dora the Explorer movie parody trailer, or
I'm guessing that is exactly.
So Gobstopper would definitely be mine. I know. What's that? Like, I didn't. I realized there was like not even a hesitation there. Gobstopper is Christopher Lloyd as Willy Wonka, psychotic Willy Wonka.
Ooh.
Basically murdering children and torturing Slugworth. And if you have not seen Gobstopper, go look up Gobstopper. It's a great parody trailer.
Wow, that would be awesome.
And my favorite one's already happening. Deadpool. The Deadpool parody trailer or fan trailer got made into a film with segments of the creator of the trailer's trailer in the real trailer. So the guy got to work on the film.
Sweet.
I mean, it's not like he's a pro. He's a pro at this, but it's still pretty cool.
Another one that wouldn't necessarily be a parody trailer, but I haven't seen a lot of parody trailers that I can conjure up right now. But seeing a trailer that I would actually like seeing turn into a movie is the Punisher one that Thomas Jane did with, I think it's called The Laundromat.
The Laundromat. Yes.
I would like to see that world of the Punisher done.
Yes.
Because I think he encapsulates who the Punisher is in 7 minutes or less, I think.
Well, and it's funny because he was the Punisher.
Right.
But it wasn't a very good movie.
No.
But this one he did with his own dime.
Yep.
And some friends.
Yep.
Because he really liked the character.
Ron Perlman.
Yes. Because he really liked the character. And that was a wonderful short.
Yes. Yeah.
There are a few others that have been amazing, too. There's the live-action Akira trailer, which has our not friend, but acquaintance, Oz, in it as Kaneda, which is kind of cool.
Hmm.
As Tetsuo, not as Kaneda. But,
I don't know who either of those are.
Anyway. There's... man, there are some really good ones out there.
Yeah.
There's the Peanuts horror film where Charlie Brown loses his fucking mind and murders everyone. That's a cool one. It was the cast of some like CW show that did this trailer. It was pretty fun. So, yeah, but for me, hands down, Gobstopper.
I love the people who send in these questions.
You guys rock.
They're thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also awesome.
Okay.
And I mean that, Rob, with almost all of yours. But
Dennis, not yours.
No.
God, not yours.
No.
What was that?
And what happened to the game we were playing where Andy found my head and what would I do if I found my head and we mailed and then all of a sudden that whole line of...
I guess Dr. Christianing Wiley stopped. Won.
I guess. Okay. Yeah. Paula Moran writes... What real or fantastic creature would be your ideal pet?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go first on this one?
Toy dragon.
Oh, nice.
And by that, I mean like a toy poodle being a miniature version of the big thing because I couldn't house a full-blown dragon. Hmm. But a cute little toy dragon that, you know, would perch on my shoulder and never get bigger than that.
Instead of scratching your chairs, though, it would set shit on fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and it could fly around the house and it would be awesome. Mm. I think that would be my ideal.
No, that's a
it's kind of like a dog in its loyalty and everything as far as what they say in Game of Thrones anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean that seems right.
So, that's what my pick would be.
No, that's definitely a good one. Ooh, that's for me, I don't know. I'm not a pet guy really. I don't really... They're not my thing, so...
I know it wouldn't be your first choice as a cat.
Well, if it was a cat, like a familiar, where it could talk and stuff,
ooh,
maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
That would be fine. That would be actually pretty cool. Provided it lived a long time, too.
Right, yeah.
So, similarly, I think I would have to go... Oof, this is tough. This is tough. Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to go with a specific... It's going to be the owl from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, the metal.
It's not a pet. I know it's clockwork, but it, you know, it's mythical and it's an animal-ish sort of thing.
It's a fantastic creature.
So Bebo the owl is my answer.
Nice. Good pull. Okay. So, Donald Evans has a tech question.
Oh, boy.
For all of us listening. This should be fairly easy. Although, I'm a little stumped by it, too, because I would use everything that was already on board.
Okay.
Donald writes, I've been building an editing computer.
Okay.
But I'm stumped on the audio.
Yes.
Can you recommend a card or interface for a Windows 7 PC? Sorry, insert record scratch here. Why are you still on Windows 7? The explanation is, I am using two Mackie monitors currently, but may upgrade to 5.1 soon.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what I wouldn't suggest, and that is any of the Sound Blaster cards. Everyone thinks they're like the gold standard. They're not. They're terrible.
Yeah, Creative Live's
not. They have a lot of problems. They have a lot of problems with editing software. If you're going to really do pro audio, you really only have one choice, and it's Turtle Beach.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not using your onboard audio, though most onboard audio is pretty solid these days.
Most onboard audio is 7.1 these days.
It's 7.1. It's 9624. Yep. Minimum, so that's 96 kilohertz sample rate, and 24 bit for the actual individual samples. So I use onboard audio.
Yeah, that's using for this.
I'm using a Sabertooth X79 as my motherboard.
Is that this? I have a Sabertooth too. Is it X79?
Yeah, I think you have an X77.
Okay.
So
any of the Asus military grade?
Asus military grade. It's all like 100% Japanese parts. It's warrantied up the ass.
Yeah, it's
everything's gold plated internally. So I don't really recommend necessarily getting an external sound card. What you might want to do is, instead of thinking about a sound card, thinking about something like the Sapphire, which is an external USB 2 sound card.
Yes,
and you can run everything through it. Very good sound. Very slight delay. Because it's USB 2, so understand that you might, like, when you're syncing your audio, sync by sight, sync by the clap, don't sync by necessarily your ears, 100%. But overall, I'm going to say, if you're not going to do onboard, Turtle Beach is where I would go.
Yeah, and we have been very happy with our Focusrite Scarlett.
Yes, Focusrite Scarlett. Sorry, I said Sapphire.
And we have a 218?
218i, I think.
Yeah.
Like that.
So it has two front mic inputs.
That are powered.
And then you have up to 16 other inputs on the back that are not powered.
Yes.
And so for our third mic, we finally figured it all out and bought the external, whatchamacallit there.
It's a tube mic amp, but it's or a preamp. I'm going to pull the name off of it. Hold on one second.
I think it's a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Might be it.
Oh, it's literally called ART. Applied Research and Technology.
Oh, nice.
So it was fairly cheap.
But yeah, the Scarlett works really good, and especially for all the voiceover work that we've done.
Yes, it's been
audio commentaries.
Clear.
ADR, all of that stuff is working really great. And then what we bought with our Patreon reward a while ago was a SMSL, what they call a headphone amplifier, which is weird, but it's about the size of an external hard drive, and it has two speaker outputs and then a front headphone jack. Mm-hmm. Of which I can splice off however many.
Right.
We can control the volume. Everybody listens to that so that they can hear what's going on from the movie. Mm-hmm. And then we record ambiently through the mics.
Right.
And it works awesome.
Yep. Now, keep in mind, all of these solutions are stereo.
Correct.
For 5.1, Turtle Beach. Or 7.1, or however you want to do it. Turtle Beach is going to have isolated channel processors. It's going to have the best components. Granted, a lot of people are like, well, you don't need it if you've got MIDI, or if you're not doing MIDI. But overall, Turtle Beach is just solid sound. Don't fall into the creative
Right, but isn't Turtle Beach, isn't your sound card, none of that has the input stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You have 7 channels of input on a Turtle Beach?
Well, no, on a Turtle Beach or you have like...
5.1?
Well, no.
Because you'd mix all that in your software.
Yeah, but it outputs 5.1. Whereas this stuff doesn't output 5.1. So the Scarlett doesn't output 5.1.
Right, okay, right.
Yours doesn't out, you know...
The motherboard outputs
5.1. Yeah, gotcha. So again, built-in sound, pretty solid these days.
Yeah.
Don't do Sound Blaster.
No.
Unless you want a lot of problems. Tyler Hill, who we've had on the show, basically has to shut everything down 2 or 3 times a day to get his sound to come back up. And he's not alone. This is a pretty common thing if you have multiple monitors, too.
Yeah.
Or if you have HDMI audio. If you have HDMI aware monitors that that can capture the audio, they can basically steal primary audio, that can cause tons of problems. The creatives are just... The software's not there. They used to be great. Their driver manufacturer or their driver developer sucks now.
Yeah.
So, personal opinion, I'm not being paid by Turtle Beach or anyone else. Except for, I guess, Amazon.
And they do not own Turtle Beach.
They do not. That is correct. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. We're hoping to get a shorter podcast today, and I think we're succeeding.
Yes.
Okay.
By mere moments.
So we would like to say thank you to our September patrons.
Yes.
So William Hawks Robinson, thank you.
Leslie Sedlak.
Todd McKimmy.
Donald Evans.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Digby Davis LLC.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mark Bevier.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Matthew Hunt.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lada Jerf.
Laura Adams.
Tom Brophy.
Tom Stewart.
Dougie Sharp.
Justin Everett.
Brittany Bentley.
Bradley Swan.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon D. Duke.
Bo Pritchard.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival Gee.
And Chad Jones. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening and you're not just completely and utterly inundated with Super Blood Moon questions,
please come on and have some apple pie with us.
Come on, have some. Let's get super drunk and let's talk about super strings.
Yeah.